Want complete protection? Try PhytoGuard, the ultimate nutraceutical combo, a great blend of all the top phytonutrients. I developed it, and it's exclusively available at drhoffman.com. Check it out. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something very, very crucial. It really lies at the heart of the interventions that I do on a daily basis with patients at the Hoffman Center, and many complementary physicians like myself rely upon this therapy to get patients better. It is the thyroid, and we've actually re-invited a recent guest, Susie Cohen. Susie Cohen is America's pharmacist. She is a syndicated columnist, a Huffington Post blogger, the author of several best-selling books on natural health, and she's appeared all over the place, including on the Dr. Oz Show. She's a regular on The View, The Doctors. She's got a great newsletter, which you can obtain via SusieCohen.com, and she's written some great books. And she has now turned her attention to the problem of the thyroid. The new book is called Thyroid Healthy, Lose Weight, Look Beautiful, and Live the Life You Imagine. And she is also instrumental behind an upcoming thyroid summit that we're going to tell you about, an opportunity to learn from many experts about some of the real details about how to properly diagnose thyroid disease, how to properly treat it, and some of the accompanying problems that people with thyroid problems experience. So, without further ado, here's America's pharmacist, Susie Cohen. Susie, it's a pleasure having you back again on Intelligent Medicine. Seems we just had you. We had you talk about your marvelous headache book. It's called Headache Free, correct?
It is. Thanks for having me, Ron. And you can tell what a nerd I am to go from the headache book to the thyroid book. Two books in 1 year. It was just a remarkable year, and I got to sit on my butt for a long time and research.
Well, I didn't realize this because, I've met you in person several times, and, you're slim, trim, and you just radiate energy and vitality. But actually, it wasn't always the case, and I think this may have been dealing with thyroid problems may have been instrumental in getting this book accomplished for you, because there was a time when you weren't doing so well. You tell your own personal story here in the book, Thyroid Healthy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. And I haven't told that story a lot, but it's out in the open now. You know, it was about 10 years ago, and I just began feeling tired and dizzy, and I was a big Zumba dancer, which is a form of Latin dance. Mm-hmm. And I would notice that on spins, I would get very dizzy, and it would be hard to find my balance. So this was a clue that there was something wrong. Of course, the first time you feel dizzy or you feel that sensation, you start thinking brain tumor. And
like Woody Allen in the movie Hannah's Sisters, right?
Yeah.
It's like right away, it's like, well, it's probably nothing, but it could be a brain tumor, and all of a sudden he's planning his demise.
Right. Well, it didn't go that far, but, we as healthcare professionals, and
we know a little too much
about health, and so things start going through your head. Well, so all the dangerous things were ruled out, but I was dizzy, I was tired, I couldn't catch my breath. I just felt easily winded, and I put a picture of myself from back then where I had been leaning into my daughter, and we cut me out of that so you could kind of get a picture of. It's not that I was super heavy. I had 15 pounds on me and a 5'3" frame. And when I say 15 pounds, I mean 15 additional pounds. And compared to today at 110 pounds, 5'3", it's a remarkable difference.
It can make all the difference in the world. The pictures are really dramatic. And it's actually kind of brave of you to show the pictures that are really, frankly, not so flattering of you. I mean, you're an attractive gal, and you kind of let it all hang out, showing that picture of you looking, a little, puffy, heavier in the pre-picture. And then the post-picture, of course, taken probably many years later, you look totally rejuvenated.
Yeah, many years later, but it was a few months ago before the publication. So it is a recent picture. And you're right. You know, I thought about that. My editors advised me against that. They said, you're selling health. You're selling books on health. You're beautiful. You should all look like the picture of health and, you know, look sexy and all that. And I said, you know what? This is what I went through. And I want people to understand that, well, it wasn't a 50-pound difference. It was only 15. It was still dramatic for me. It still shook my confidence. I had always been little, and I had always been thin and full of energy and full of life and vitality. And here I see this picture of myself, and I'm like, dang, that was me for years. And what happened was the doctors, you know, they tested all the normal things. They didn't test all the right things. And when I figured it out myself, I realized this was a thyroid problem. And optimizing my thyroid through diet and exercise and some T3. I took some compounded T3, which is a drug you can get by prescription. It's just hormone replenishment for your thyroid. It really turned my life around. My mind started to feel sharp. I started to get back into dance. Today, you know, I do Zumba, yoga. I take up ballroom dancing. I feel great, especially compared back then. Back then, the doctor's answer for my symptoms was Zoloft.
Yeah, they thought, well, you know, you're getting a little run down. Maybe you need something to perk up your brain. Maybe a little depressed, right?
Yeah, and so the point of all this, this is a long story to tell people one important thing that they're using to detect thyroid disease do not work well. They are a reflection of your pituitary gland and your brain levels of thyroid hormone. The test I'm referring to is the TSH test. In and of itself, it is not a good test. Taken together with other markers, you can really tell a lot about the thyroid hormone and levels in your body. But the TSH alone, which is what 90% or more doctors are using in this country, doesn't say a whole lot about your thyroid hormone levels. This leaves millions of women to fall through the cracks. And what happens? They get prescribed drugs for every symptom that goes with thyroid disease. So in come the painkillers for the chronic pain. In come the depression, antidepressants for the depression. In come all these other medications.
The laxatives, the things for PMS, for dry skin, and so on and so on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all it could be is one thing, low thyroid hormone. So now I'm on a mission, and I have a section in my book and a special report also that is available, 5 ways your doctor misdiagnoses you. And I list the 5 reasons that you'll be sent away misdiagnosed when you really have a thyroid problem.
And you know, clearly there's a schism in medicine between the very conventional mainstream endocrinologists and complementary physicians like myself, who take the step of diagnosing thyroid problems. We don't eschew blood tests. We use blood tests. We use certain different blood tests, which we'll get into in just a few moments. But we also, we really treat the patient. We treat the patient clinically. And I have to say that, you know, I break the rules whenever I treat a patient who seems to have a normal TSH, but I would never look back and go back to the way that we were taught in medical school, because I could, you know, I've helped scores and scores of patients who otherwise would have been denied the benefits of thyroid, and no patients have come to harm as a result of that.
Yeah, and it's true. And because we're functional medicine practitioners, that's why. But standard conventional physicians will treat their patients the same way. They just give them Synthroid or Armour, and the medicine works for a little bit. And then after a few months, maybe a year, that person doesn't feel well again, and all the symptoms are still there. So they go back. And guess what happens? The dose goes up. They're not thinking, why is my patient not responding to the medicine? They're not thinking, what other drugs should I be giving this person to help with their thyroid? They're just thinking, what medicine is next for this symptom? And it's really a tragedy. And it's a shame, because relationships are lost, and families are broken up because one person is suffering, and they're vulnerable, and women just don't know what to do. So I wrote this book to help women understand, help men and women understand, that simple things can help detect the thyroid problems where the TSH test will fail you.
Okay, well, let's do a simple primer on thyroid. What are some of the symptoms of low thyroid? You mentioned several of them, but there are some that, you know, are unexpected.
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, there could be upwards of 100 because thyroid hormone really runs your body. But the hallmark symptoms are those that have to do with your weight and your temperature. So people will inadvertently gain weight or they'll have stubborn weight loss. This is almost always tied to thyroid problems. It could also be tied to adrenal, but you can't have a thyroid problem without an adrenal problem, right? So they go hand in hand. You'll see cold sensitivity. You might be the coldest person in the room. You feel anxious and things that didn't used to upset you suddenly do. Like maybe driving on six-lane highways where that wasn't normally a problem. Suddenly you're shaking and you feel like you can't cope with stress. Or a phone call from somebody that, you know, is going to stress you out, but you take the call anyway. Well, suddenly you don't want to take that call because you get all nervous inside. So symptoms of anxiety, and they show up in different ways for different people. Pain is a big one. Mood changes such as tearfulness or depression. That's possible. Dizziness. Oftentimes you feel cold and pale, and your lips may have lost their color. And this is because low iron often goes hand in hand with low thyroid. And that was the case for me. That was one of my hallmark symptoms. My lips were normally pink, and my skin is normally porcelain white. And my lips were almost the same color as my skin. It was scary. I was buying lipstick like crazy, thinking, what's going on here? So that was a symptom that I had that I no longer have.
And I noticed one of the things that thyroid is good for, many women come in with PMS. And usually the treatment for PMS is, okay, your PMS is really bad. Either take an antidepressant because they think that's going to help, or go on the oral contraceptive, and that'll just give you artificial periods and you won't experience your PMS. But many women who seem to have normal thyroids, you give them a little bit of natural thyroid, and bingo, their PMS, their water retention, their breast swelling, their moodiness, all that dissipates, and their periods regularize.
Oh, I know. Well, now I'm going to tell you something huge, because women who have heavy periods usually almost always have estrogen dominance, right?
Yes,
or low progesterone. So the higher the levels of estrogen, the higher the levels of this protein called thyroid binding globulin protein. Now, this protein has an attraction for thyroid hormone. So the higher the levels of this TBG protein as a result of the estrogen, the lower levels of your thyroid hormone, because the protein has latched it all up.
It's like a sponge for your thyroid hormone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and this is actually why when you're pregnant, you actually require an adjustment. If you're on thyroid medication, your endocrinologist will often raise your thyroid hormone during pregnancy because, in effect, you're eating for two, but also the higher levels of hormones in pregnancy diminish your thyroid.
Right. And then, you know, pregnancy is also a risk factor for Hashimoto's. So we've been all over the board, but one of the most interesting things that I find that I love to tell people, and they just light up when they hear how simple this is to take probiotics. We love probiotics because we know they help with gut function. They help us extract nutrients from our food. They help us with our immune system. But very few people know that probiotics convert your T4 to T3, thus activating your thyroid hormone and making you feel better.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's just this cool, simple fix.
That's great. And what's our favorite probiotic altogether now?
Dr. O'Hara's.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, and this is a probiotic that it's actually based on a traditional Japanese formula. And it's a complex blend of different prebiotics as well as natural bacteria that are blended according to a very ancient formula. And it's more like a functional food than a conventional probiotic, which may just have one or two species concentrated bacteria in it.
Yeah, I love that. I love Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. They're so good, and they're shelf-stable. You don't have to keep them in the fridge, so they're good for travel. But that's just a simple thing to activate 20% of your thyroid hormone. Sometimes that's all a person needs, and sometimes that's all they need. If they're taking medicine, they can do that. And that'll help with the peripheral conversion of T4 to T3. See, I have this theory. We all, not all, but most of us are able to make enough thyroid hormone. I think we have, you know, a good supply of tyrosine and iodine. And if we don't, we can take more. But I don't think the problem for most people with low thyroid is that they're hypothyroid, in that they can't manufacture thyroid hormone. See, I think they can. My theory is that they can't utilize the thyroid hormone. They are what I call in my book thyroid sick, because they're not able to use the thyroid hormone that their gland is pumping out. So at the cellular level, they are hypothyroid or resistant at the cellular level, which is different than, you know, classical hypothyroidism where the gland isn't pushing out enough thyroid hormone. Do you see the difference?
Well, absolutely, yeah. And this actually, an analogy would be patients who are diabetic. There are two types. There are some that don't make enough insulin. That would be a type 1 diabetic, an insulin-dependent diabetic. But there are also people who are diabetic, and they're making too much insulin, and the problem is not that they don't have enough insulin, but they're insulin resistant. So it makes sense that a different hormone, thyroid hormone, also may have the same type of problem in the body.
Yeah, and there's many reasons for this, but in my book called Thyroid Healthy, I talk about the reasons that this can happen and ways that your doctor can misdiagnose you. And basically what I'm saying is that the thyroid hormone is locked out of the cell, and it's confusing to doctors because the lab results will look pretty good. I mean, the lab results that will cause the misdiagnosis include a TSH and a T4 that are usually normal. You might see a high reverse T3, you might see a low TBG, or it could be normal. And the free T3 may be normal to high, leading your doctor to say that you're fine because your free T3 looks normal. You know, but that's because the T3 is locked out of the cell. You want it inside the cell. If it's locked out of the cell, the blood levels are going to be normal or high, right? So this is a mistake that happens all the time. And as a result, women are left, you know, they're not treated correctly. They're not given correct medicine. Their medicine dosages aren't adjusted properly. And, you know, they're just left to fend for themselves going, what is wrong with me? I know there's something wrong with me. And it's not because my blood levels of this antidepressant went down.
Well, absolutely. So before we get into the different forms of thyroid medication, because thyroid, you know, true thyroid replacement involves prescription drugs, what are some ways that, you know, say a person doesn't want to go on a medication that they might have to take for the rest of their life right away, are there nutrients that you can take to augment the functioning of your thyroid, or are there things you can eliminate from your life that will help your thyroid work better?
Oh, sure. Wow, and that, my answer could take an hour. So, well, we've already talked.
Yeah, it's sort of like a third of your book is about that. So I'm just throwing you a high-hanging curveball for you to hit out of the ballpark.
Yeah, I love it, and I appreciate that because it allows me to think in a more focused way and can the answer. So we've already talked about probiotics. It's so simple. It'll help activate 20% of your thyroid hormone in the gut, which, you know, could help you feel better that way. Of course, iodine goes without saying. I think we have enough of that, but iodine is what helps you make thyroid hormone. So you can test levels with a urine catch. That's how they check it. Mm-hmm. And if you're iodine deficient, you want to obviously supplement with that. Selenium is huge. It's always number one. A deficiency of selenium always equates to lower T3 levels and higher thyroid antibodies. So that's important. Ashwagandha at the top of my list. Not only does ashwagandha support adrenal health, it's an adrenal adaptogen, it also helps stimulate production of thyroid hormone.
Wow.
And help convert it.
I actually didn't know that. I knew that it was really good for the adrenals, but I didn't know the second part, that it really supports thyroid health. So that's great.
It does. It helps support peripheral conversion, and it helps reduce swelling or inflammation of the thyroid gland itself, and it helps regulate blood pressure. And a little-known fact about ashwagandha is that it helps support and improve immunity. So I really love ashwagandha. It's at the top of my list for anyone with adrenal or thyroid dysfunction. And, you know, there's other studies that are emerging now that suggest it protects your DNA, which we know DNA damage can lead to cancer sometimes. So ashwagandha is huge.
Are there dietary factors that make a difference? I mean, if you're low thyroid, are there some things that you should emphasize or avoid?
Yeah, most people know to stay away from soy because it's a goitrogen. I'm not one of those people that really feels you should stay away from the crucifers.
Right.
I got to tell you, I know they're goitrogens,
mm-hmm.
but you have to eat buckets of bucketfuls.
Right. I mean, it can happen if you, they had a case once where a woman, I think she was juicing cabbage for a month and she really killed her thyroid, but, you know, that's all she had. So I think you can really, if you're massively overdosing on cruciferous vegetables, you might harm your thyroid, but it's tough.
Yeah, I agree with you. I still, it doesn't matter to me if you're a thyroid patient and you're supplementing with drugs or medicine. I would still say eat your broccoli. Make sure it's organic, though,
right?
Yeah,
it's better to prevent cancer, you know, than to, I think that's a more overriding factor. They're so beneficial.
And then as far as other things to stay away from, just very quickly, I would change your toothpaste. It's a simple way to avoid fluoride.
Okay.
Fluoride is a halide and it competes with iodine. And then if your iodine isn't on the cell's receptor, then your thyroid gland can't make thyroid hormone, so it goes to sleep. So, you know, that's a simple thing. And then also take a look in your medicine cabinet. You know, I'm a pharmacist and I wrote a book called Drug Muggers, which is my term for drugs that mug nutrients. And certain drug muggers will crash your thyroid just because of what they're stealing from your body. So do you want an example of that?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, oral contraceptives. Women are taking these, and oral contraceptives not only raise your estrogen, which we talked about, raises TBG, and thus lowers thyroid hormone. But oral contraceptives are drug muggers of selenium. So it's like a double whammy. When you run out of selenium, you could have elevated thyroid antibodies, and you also have lower conversion of T4 to T3. I could say the same thing for hormone replacement therapy drugs for women who are postmenopausal. And this is a big surprise to people. Some of the diabetic medications are drug muggers of selenium. For real. So here you can have diabetes and thyroid disease hand in hand. We already know that thyroid disease is a leading cause of diabetes, type 2, I should say. But to also take the medicines to treat the diabetes and then have it circle back to crash your selenium levels, it's just a vicious circle, and people just don't know. Well, they know now.
Absolutely. There's a type of thyroid problem that often results in low thyroid. It's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. But I notice that my patients with Hashimoto's, sometimes they don't respond just to thyroid medication. They just feel lousy because the thyroid is really inflamed and sick. And you talk a little bit in your book about how to deal with that condition, because that could be a really bothersome condition, tough to treat just with medication.
Yeah, Hashimoto's is a full-blown systemic head-to-toe autoimmune disease. Most people with low thyroid do have some degree of Hashimoto's, and you can measure this by measuring an assortment of different antibodies via the blood. And in my book, I do talk about lowering antibodies with LDN or low-dose naltrexone. Mm-hmm. This is very helpful, and you can lower antibodies. Well, you know this. Selenium supplementation can be helpful, and even a little bit of testosterone can go a long way. And of course, vitamin D, we know, regulates the immune system, and probiotics for their immunosupportive health. And my friend Isabella Wentz, a fellow pharmacist, she actually wrote a book on Hashimoto's. And you can check that out. Yeah, her website's, I think, thyroidpharmacist.com, Isabella Wentz. But she wrote
sounds like a future intelligent medicine interview.
Yeah, I'll put you in touch. But I have a few pages on Hashimoto's and a few pages on Graves' disease as well. Graves is something nobody's talking about, so if we could spend a minute there.
Sure, please. Yeah, let's talk about it.
So Graves' disease is another autoimmune disorder, and this is where you have high levels of thyroid hormone. And instead of slowing down the body's processes, it increases them. So you see insomnia and heart palpitations and other problems. There's very little these patients can do. Conventional medicine's answer to Graves' disease is usually to burn the thyroid or just cut it out.
Right.
So you see surgery and radiation for the thyroid. In fact, they use iodine-131, which is a radioactive form of iodine that they have found being emitted from Fukushima. So it's kind of scary. But anyway, my point is that people with Graves' disease really have very little to go on. So I made it a mission to research this in my book, Thyroid Healthy. And in the Graves' disease chapter, I talk about two cheap herbs that you can buy everywhere. Motherwort, and bugleweed.
Bugleweed, yes. That's
bugleweed and motherwort. There's two of them. And these
I think the botanical name for bugleweed, it's lycopis. Right, okay.
People know it as gypsy weed.
Mm-hmm.
And so this can help manage the symptoms of hyperthyroidism, especially the palpitation parts, which is very, very scary. It's not that bugleweed or motherwort are cures for Graves' disease. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that they can help manage the symptom. Really, what you have to do is the same thing with Hashimoto's. You have to figure out what's lighting up the immune system and what's causing your thyroid gland to go on fire. So that's really the heart of, you know, correcting the situation.
But also some evidence that carnitine may help to slow down a runaway thyroid, correct?
Yes, it's a natural remedy. L-carnitine is so fabulous for people with Graves' disease. And it also, as a side note, can help some people with cellulite.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, now we got something that's very, very, I mean, next to cancer, heart disease, and HIV, I think cellulite is right up there among people's concerns. So give us your take on cellulite while we're at it. Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pause because this is the first part of our podcast. We generally pause, and this will be what we consider part one of our podcast on Thyroid Healthy with Susie Cohen. We'll keep you in suspense because in part two, we'll talk more about some of the medication options for people who require thyroid treatment because the conventional medications often don't work. And we'll also, we'll tease our audience because we'll talk a little bit about natural support for cellulite. That's a biggie. Our guest, Susie Cohen, she's a registered pharmacist and she is America's pharmacist. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.